Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. Part of modern life means implicitly consenting to certain things. You flip a switch in your house, and coal gets dumped into a power plant hundreds of miles away. Well, that bothers Matthew Mazzotta. He's a 33-year-old Cambridge artist, and he's been working on a project to convert dog waste, of all things, into a modest amount of usable energy. And in the process, he hopes, spark his fellow Cantabrigians to think a little more deeply about their energy and where it comes from and where it could come from. His concept has gained international attention, but execution has proven more difficult and more messy than he could have possibly imagined. Just a word of warning to our listeners. Fecal matter plays a somewhat prominent role in the story we're about to air. Here's Radio Boston's Adam Ragusa.
It's about 9 o'clock, and I'm sitting in my place in Central Square when I get a call from Matthew. He's down at the Pacific Street Dog Park in Cambridgeport, a little fenced-in gravel area where I take my dog Lucy sometimes. He's telling me, no promises, but tonight it just might work.
Good evening, Matthew.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Very good.
Matthew and I have gone through this same little ritual now for 4 nights, but this time he hasn't come alone.
This is a friend of mine, Paul. Him and Jagan, actually, they're both coming down here tonight. They both helped me install this.
Wow, so you're feeling pretty confident that this is the night.
Well, you know what? You brought spectators. Like, yeah. You know, this thing has gotten a little out of hand.
That much has proven to be a theme. I first met Matthew in this same spot 2 weeks ago in the rain.
So this is your baby, huh?
Yeah. This is the Park Spark project.
What are we looking at?
Well, we have two tanks here. One is the digester, which is anaerobic, means no oxygen gets in there. And the other one is vented, which means oxygen can get in there. That's kind of like your septic tank.
A digester is basically a place where you put any kind of biodegradable waste, like old food or manure, and you collect the methane that comes off it. Methane is an extremely potent greenhouse gas, and if you burn it, you split it into less harmful carbon dioxide and water. Plus, you get some free energy.
I sat in this park with my friend Clay, and I saw the garbage can full with all the dog waste, and I was just like, you know, right there, people use that in other countries for cooking and all this stuff, and then it hit me. What's the potential of all this energy being wasted right now?
Matthew specializes in audacious feats of do-it-yourself engineering and projects that deal with themes like community and the environment. For example, a 15-person bicycle he built called a bussicle. After that epiphany he had at the dog park, Matthew got a grant from his alma mater, MIT, and support from the Cambridge Arts Council to build the world's first public methane digester run on dog poop.
So we're looking inside the digester
now.
Yeah,
and if it was light, you could see right in there and see some cow dung.
Wait, cows? How did cows get in the dog park? Well, here's the thing. You can't just gradually accumulate dog feces in a can and get a digester going. You have to foster a very specific type of methanogenic bacteria. So Matthew figured he'd prime his digester with cow dung. And as his buddies Paul and Jagan tell the story, that's when things first got out of hand.
I mean, just what happened in a matter of one day.
And I said, guys, we got to go down south and get some manure. I got all these buckets. And so we started loading the tanks.
That was the messy part?
Well,
oh no.
You can't just pour it in. You have to mix it with water.
And we had to use water that didn't have chlorine in it. So we had to go and fetch it. It's like 30 or 40 buckets of Charles River water. We made a cocktail with that, with the cow manure.
Cow manure is getting all over us in ways that we're not liking it.
On your hands and your pants on the tank.
At this point, Jagan is so covered that I said, you can't get in this truck with your pants on. So as I'm driving, he's in the back with his pants off. Paul's in the front seat.
There was one point where we pulled out of the Mass Ave, and all the lids were loose on the back.
The bucket, there are all these black lids that are 12 inches.
I don't know, 5 or 6 of them flew out into the middle of Mass Ave,
and they go right in front of the Middle East, and they look like records. So these hipster kids are like, hey, are those records?
Matthew pulled over, and I go to jump out, and I
just pull over really fast, and Paul jumps out. Hey, man, don't touch those. They're covered in
Don't touch them. They're covered in cow As I proceed to run out and grab them.
And Jagan's in the back with his hands in his lap, no pants on. He goes, man, this night's getting out of hand.
And to what end? I mean, what does one do with the combustible gases emitted by about 400 gallons of fermenting Charles River water and dung? Well, on that day in the rain, Matthew tried to show me.
It goes from the digester into a pipe that goes below the outlet tank, and it goes up this lamppost and into the lamp fixture. And so now I'm going to go into the lamp fixture and light it.
Out came a rickety wooden ladder he'd been hiding in the bushes next to the park.
So I'm going to go up there and open that up.
Careful up there.
Yeah. So the city of Boston gave me this lamp fixture.
It's lovely. It's like an old Beacon Hill gas lamp.
That's exactly what it is.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah.
No dice?
Nope. Let me just try.
Three nights later, Matthew called me and said he was going to try again.
Oh, look, there's a new sign on there.
Yeah.
What does it say? Sorry for the delay. Currently, we are waiting for the right population of microbes to flourish in the tank to make flammable gas.
Okay. I'm going to go up there and try to light it.
Okay.
Okay. I've been experiencing this phenomenon with this system. Instead of gas being shot out like it should be, when I close the system, I think what happens is it pushes everything in the overflow tank, and then as the night cools, it actually sucks the flame into it, which is the opposite of what I want to have happen. No, not a success tonight.
At this point, I could see Matthew's characteristic good spirits flag a little. Trying to light this stupid light was bad enough, but the struggle was keeping him from getting at the real point of his project, which isn't so much about a lamp as it is
kind of a social intervention. What can we do with this flame that's in our neighborhoods being powered by dog waste? In India and China, you know, they use it to light spaces or cook. What are we going to do with it in Cambridge?
Five nights later, Matthew convened a public meeting in an office space across from the park. The idea was to get people from the neighborhood to brainstorm ways to use this energy for something more than a lamp. Only 4 people showed up, including me and Matthew's friend Jagan.
We'll just do this meeting as is.
Matthew handed out paper and markers, and everybody brainstormed some crazy ideas and read them out loud.
Dividing the light into tiny lights, a connection to the Charles River, I don't know where that would go, outdoor huts for homeless.
I like the idea of dentistry a lot because...
Of what?
Dentistry.
Dentistry,
if you can give somebody a root canal with the energy that's being produced here.
Suffice it to say, a consensus was not reached. So, back to tonight. Matthew and Paul and Jagan and me and Lucy the dog, we're all here expecting something to happen.
I think it's going to work tonight.
You had a scientist come down?
Yeah, my friend Will. And he says on the low side of combustibility with my cow manure. So it has nothing really to do with dog waste or anything. It's just what I'm starting it off as.
Well, look at Lucy. She's contributing something right now.
So Adam, you can throw a bag in there.
I walk over to the special doggy bag dispenser Matthew has mounted on the lamp and tear one off.
These are biodegradable. These came from Italy.
And they have to be biodegradable?
Yeah, to work with this system.
Having officially christened the dog waste portion of the project, we stand back as Matthew, for one last time, climbs his ladder and flicks his lighter.
Is that lit?
Yeah, you see this? But it's a blue light, not a white light.
It's on fire, though.
It is on fire. This is way better than we've ever had before.
Actually, there's one more problem.
The funny part is there's a street light right here.
Like a really big, bright street light.
Yeah, right. I think it would be...
much more dramatic.
Much more dramatic without the street light without shining streetlight directly on it.
How do you feel?
The whole lamp is just a placeholder. That's the default mode. It's just supposed to burn methane. So for me, it's burning methane.
As I walk away, I see the boys holding up some lawn chairs they found in an effort to cast a shadow on the lamp long enough to get a photo. The phrase out of hand, once again, seeming apropos.
The saga of Matthew Mazzotta and the Park Spark Project was brought to Radio Boston by Adam Ragusea. Things are now looking a little brighter for Matthew. The flame in the lamp is getting bigger every day, and he's open to suggestions about what the community might do with that energy in the future. You can see the Park Spark Project at the Pacific Street Dog Park in Cambridgeport from now until September 25th. Radio Boston is a production of WBUR with regular contributions from The Angle at boston.com. If you have thoughts about the show, input, opinions, anything to say, compliments, criticisms, you can always post a comment on our website, wbur.org/boston. You can tag us on Twitter or Facebook. We're at Radio Boston. Email's fine, too, of course. We're at radioboston@wbur.org. And we have a listener line where you can leave a recorded message. That's 617-353-1137. Again, 617-353-1137. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. Join us again tomorrow for Radio Boston.